Go ahead, Sango.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Hello, and welcome to Frontier Fiction, an actual play Dungeons & Dragons podcast. We're coming to you all the way from the frozen north. It's not easy to stay sane in Alaska, so we get to gather with one of our favorite pastimes to let the voices in our head out to play.
We get to gather.
That's what the sheet says.
We get to gather.
Yes.
We haven't noticed that.
We get together. It works. It grammatically makes sense. We do get together.
Okay.
Together.
Why do we do that?
To let the voices in our head out to play.
And who are you?
I'm getting distracted. But my name is Anna, and I'm playing Maeve.
My name.
Like my character. Oh.
Your character is playing Maeve too.
My name is Veda, and I'm playing Solana.
My name is Zeb, playing Maddox.
I'm Wasey, playing Dacian.
I'm Colton, I'm Handy, and Thaddeus, and I'll be a few other people today, too.
And the DM.
Yeah. Well, let's roll to see who's doing our crazy recap.
Nat 20.
Two on the die.
15.
14.
16.
All right, two in a row for the DM.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, all right. Start the clock, I guess.
Okay. Go.
Finally, getting through the strange magical barrier around the foundation of the palace, the venturing party discovers a very strange chamber which appears to be designed for sacrifice or harvesting or some kind of ritual with some old kings.
Nice.
That's a lot.
They were kings. We didn't know that before.
Maybe.
Oh my gosh.
Pressure on the DM and he will leak.
Call him cheesecloth.
It's not written down. Does it count?
It's recorded. Yes. It's canon now.
They're kings. It has happened. All right. Following that, you guys ran into Thaddeus Wick, Pendleton Wick's brother. Also, Thaddeus is the left hand of the king, the boy king, which is sort of like the magical security officer. He's perplexed and impressed, mildly frustrated with how you guys have thwarted his security in such a direct way. He was maybe insinuating, he was anticipating that you would find ways around the security or, you know, a lapse in it, or point out areas that could be weak. Instead, it appears you have gone through his security.
so good.
He has led you through the academy, the lower chambers, the main floor, and up to the ascending staircase, which elevates up to the raised platform that is basically the entire living space and world of the boy king. Again, in front of you, there is, look at my picture for reference, there are what exactly would you call them? There's not really any doors or windows, but they are kind of enclosed spaces with these archways that separate it from the rest of this platform. They're walls, they're round structures. The main one is like a basilica. They're both like that, rounded top like a turtle's back, refracting sunlight like crazy. It's painful to look up at these curved roofs of the palace. And there's a small one to the left, a very large central one, and in the spaces around there are tables, umbrellas, very fancy, not park-like construction, but very permanent fixtures. There's grass up here. There's a mist of water that kind of sprays and spritz this way and that way in certain areas. So there's kind of a fog. It's very humid up here. You can see the heat and the water interplaying and causing vapors in your vision. And there are trees of a small variety. And the only other thing you can see clearly is the massive dome of the arborarium that the students use next to the palace. And Thaddeus leads you through guards down a nice white walkway with grass on either side of it towards the large central basilica, which has a doorway in the front of it with no doors, and a carpet that is white that goes into the middle, where you can see a massive throne room. There are attendants and servants on either side, a lot of vertical stone pillars. There are guards set up in positions up on high at either side with crossbows looking down at you, and there are a circle of chairs around and behind the king, some of them occupied and some of them not, of prominent figures that you may or may not recognize from about town. You see the shield of the king, which is like the king's personal bodyguard and physical trainer. So teaches the king how to defend himself and physically puts himself in harm's way for the king. And he's a tall, bald man, very tan skin, square jaw. He's got a lot of scars, a broken boxer's nose, cauliflower ears. He's dressed nicely with an open shirt and big flowing pants. No shoes or socks on. He's got his arms on either side of him, posed proudly. He's standing directly next to the king and looking down his nose at you, not in a condescending way, as much as just in a proud way. Like, he's very confident about who he is. Then there's on the king's left side, you can see the right hand of the king, which is Howell Flint. And he's a studious looking man, he is kind of like the way it would be described about town. He's like the king's personal tutor. So he exercises and teaches the king's mind, which would be their most valuable asset and the people's most valuable asset. And then the left-hand seat is unoccupied and would normally house Thaddeus Wick, who is leading you, himself. And there is a seat behind the king that it's almost obscured by his throne, and it is empty. Then in the throne, which is wide, it has kind of a simple cushion on it and a couple of blankets thrown this way or that, more like very richly woven decorative blankets thrown this way or that. There's a table next to this throne, very simple stone set built into the floor, part of the room. And there is what looks like a boy of 14, 15, round face, bald, chubby cheeks, bright eyes, almost smiling, not quite, unusually calm and serene for someone of that apparent age, and lightly pointed ears, fair skin, not tanned, sitting very stiffly, calmly, one leg crossed over the other knee, and hands kind of resting on either side of a chair that is much too wide for him. And as you walk in, he points and he goes, "Dacian! Hi!
Hey, how's it going?"
"Good. I love that guy. I send him letters and he does things. It's amazing. And who are these people? Come in."
"Oh, gosh." "Well, this is Maddox, Solana, and Maeve. They are some of the people that you have asked me to work with and train and help me get things done, as you put it."
"Wonderful, wonderful. I am so pleased to meet all of you." He kind of like waves one of his hands, and you can see his bodyguard, Howell, Thurso is kind of like looking at you. Each of you can see him sizing you up, and he like looks right past Maddox. Meanwhile, you see Howell Flint looks right past Dacian and looks like at Maddox and looks him up and down and kind of like nods his head a little bit like, "Hmm." Then he looks at Maeve and squints, and you see one of his eyebrows raise. And he raises a hand to his mouth and turns his head a little bit, and he whispers something. And as he does, you see Thaddeus kind of stop and pause and like raise his hand to his ear. And he kind of speaks into his hand for a second really quietly. And then you see Howell like raise an eyebrow and like shake his head up and down, looking at Maeve for a moment. And then you see a figure, you almost miss him. Strolls, the only reason you notice him is because he's the only person walking, moving in this room. A very stalwart, stationary figures, including this boy king. But almost like in between the shadows from the ceiling, the holes in the ceiling and the natural lighting and the sconces which you're burning, the magical lighting which is in here, a variety of shades. He weaves through them. He's got his fingers pressed together and he kind of like lists back and right and kind of in a way that you are reminded of when Dacian's weaving through a crowd or when he's sneaking through shadows. And this guy just seems to be doing it as naturally as breathing. And then he spins kind of and sits down in the seat directly behind the king, laces his fingers together, lowers his head and just kind of bobs his head back and forth like he's not feeling well or is extremely bored. This man has a high collar, a short cropped haircut, about 3 days worth of stubble on his face, a pronounced nose. There are like serpents in, like stitched into his sleeves, very elaborate on his green and gold coat, and he's wearing tight pants and a belt. He does not appear to be wearing any weapons, but everything he's wearing screams, I have inordinate amounts of money and am not afraid of who notices me at any given time. And like he's dressed very obviously, not quite fancy, frilly, just a very peculiar, peculiar individual. Dacian. And I think Maeve could give me a history check.
Okay. 15.
Critical fail. Maeve, thinking of your limited distant knowledge of the affairs of nobles as a lesser house that is in diminishing, or the history of the city, you are not certain what this guy's deal is, but it is something. The seat behind the king, very strong message being sent there somehow, like out of the king's sight in the most vulnerable position in accordance to the king. Something's up there. You don't know. Dressed so obviously, strolling through the room as though he has like a hangover. Something's up with this guy. You have no clue. Dacian, you know that this is the king's sword, which is a very interesting political position. It is not spoken of. It is vaguely known. Even like a drunk man in the streets would be cautious mentioning the king's sword because it's a position that shouldn't exist. The king's sword is his formal, written, official assassin. So like in theory, the king would point and the sword would kill. But the king is just and noble and therefore would never have anyone killed. So his very position and title are an oxymoron to the way things are conducted and held. And so officially, he could never kill anyone. So in the paperwork, his position is a completely useless one.
That's why he's bored.
In practice, everybody suspects that the king's sword is constantly in play in foreign countries, locally making people slip, trip, and fall. But if ever an assassination, a kill, a death, stroke were traced back to the king's sword, it would be directly tarnishing the name of the king, and the sword would instantly be put to death, making it a most interesting, precarious, and dangerous person to hold that title.
Would this have been the first time that Dacian's met him?
Or you would have never met him.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I figured that.
Yeah.
He's not really a meeting people kind of guy.
No. Yeah. Eyeballing him, why don't you... Never mind.
Decian, whether or not he ever made eye contact with him, when he thought that he might have been looking in his direction, he would have given him a deferential nod, essentially saying, I know who you are, and I completely respect your skills and won't be getting in the way.
So he catches that. You're kind of standing to the right of the party.
Mm-hmm.
He's behind the Boy King. Boy King was addressing you. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he strolls through and you give him that nod. And as he's sitting there, like kind of with almost his head's bobbing up and down. He's mm-hmm. slouched. He looks in pain or drunk. And he like kind of looks up at you from underneath his bangs. You can see his like steely eyes. And he like points at you with the finger gun. He goes, and then he goes back towards, like in a kind of like a, what's up, man? Then goes back towards just running his fingers through his hair and like awkwardly, openly groaning. Just like, and everybody is proceeding as though nothing uncommon, untoward, or unusual. The Boy King says, I'm so pleased to meet each and every one of you. Dacian is a most interesting person. I just remember sometimes I ask for things that I'm told, and there's kind of like a stillness in the room, he says, are unreasonable. But I ask anyways, because I am just one person, one mind. I surround myself with wisdom, but I have an entire city at my disposal, and Dacian, more than one time, has flabbergasted all of my wise and esteemed compatriots. And he looks, and there's kind of like a little bit of angst in the room. He says, by doing what I asked him to. And that's amazing. So, tell me, what did you guys learn? What did you see?
Having been hearing that from the Boy King, Dacian would have probably blushed a little bit or flushed a little bit. Not being not like that. And tried to recollect himself, not that would have, knowing that he has somebody like the sword right behind him who is way better than he is, and still getting a compliment like that. Proceeds to try to lay out how they had arrived where they were at.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want that in detail?
Or? No.
Okay.
We can extrapolate. Do you guys chime in? Tell me this. Tell me what details you give him and which ones you don't.
Okay.
I wouldn't mention any of the journals or really anything to do with Pendleton.
Okay. So that whole chamber and everything that was in it is omitted from the story. By medics.
By me, yeah. I wouldn't mention Handy or the journals, specifically that chamber with the closed door.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else I wouldn't mind them knowing.
Anybody else doing any of the talking?
No, Solana would just be frantically, like, trying to make herself look more presentable the whole time.
Okay.
Feeling very out of place.
Maeve, can you contain yourself?
Maeve is completely, like, awestruck and shell-shocked and, like, completely silent in awe of the king and just mm-hmm. like fidgeting and like trying to straighten herself up.
Like, stop fidgeting.
Dacian's explaining, extrapolating. The Boy King is like on the edge of his seat almost at certain parts, like he's a kid watching his favorite cartoon or something. And like you can tell, like there's a familiarity to this, like Dacian stories, not maybe from the mouth of Dacian, but like this is something that gets recounted to him frequently, is the things that he's been up to, and he's excited, and like he mentions little things, he whispers things to his staff, he's like, that is so cool, you know, and he's like kind of losing his composure a little bit. Maybe you're sitting there in shell shock, and like this tray kind of appears in front of you, stuck to somebody's arm with some food and refreshments on it, and kind of floats there for a second, and then starts to hover away, and then it moves in front of Maddox. You see, like, a very nondescript servant is standing there. Zeb is miming, grabbing food and putting it in his pockets.
Just nonchalantly, you know.
And then Solana, same tray. There's beverages and food, like easily grabbed food and snacks on it, and just a very plain looking young man servant who's making sure that the king's guests are being attended to. Moments later, chairs get brought in, like wooden chairs. Very rare in this city. People sit on pillows, people sit on the ground, they sit on the heels, or they'll sit when they're dead, because there's a lot to do in a day in the desert. It's a hard place, or a harsh place to live, where you sit in carriages on a horse. But wooden chairs are brought into the room and set behind you, though you're not encouraged or discouraged from sitting in them. And Dacian, the boy, is captivated by your description of this long man that woos its prey with the cries of infants. And he's like yelling at one of the servants, kind of, but he's like, write this down, you know, and he's like, I'm going to draw this later. We must see if there's anything of this in the history books. And you can see an approving glance from Howell Flint, his tutor. And then you see Thurso kind of leans forward with his, you know, glistening chest and chin, and he says, how would you approach a target like that, Your Majesty? And he's like, later, keep going. And you guys relay, Maddox, is it revealed that you were the one who dispelled?
Maddox actually probably wouldn't have spoken unless he was directly asked. He's not really interested in the whole political place. He only cared about... That was really loud. Yeah. He only cared about Thaddeus, and that's what he thought he was going to do, was like have a meeting with Thaddeus. Mm-hmm. He's a little bit overwhelmed himself. He would just let Dacian do the talking and then maybe try to like work in some like hand gestures or like nods or eye things to communicate, like leaving Pendleton stuff out of it.
Yes and no signals.
Yes and no signals, yeah.
Including the sword? Because he would have probably mentioned that he had it if he had an opportunity to, that without revealing the rest of it.
He would have, but I mean, it's up to you whether you would have ignored it or not.
Okay.
All right, give me a Dacian insight check. Maddox, gonna say...
Performance?
Yeah, but I don't know how to compare. This is not a competition. Really? Yeah, just roll it, and we'll see how you guys do. If it's bad, I'm going to challenge this. And if it's not, I'm going to say cool.
18 on the die. 18 plus on two, the die. 20. Seven?
No.
It's an insight, isn't it?
Yeah. What am I...
Don't know. Okay. Just figuring out your number.
Oh, I was trying to figure out what I'm checking insight for, because it... could be a 15 or it could be a 10, depending on what.
It's an insight.
Okay, just straight insight. Yeah, like a 10.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. You guys have known each other long enough and gotten your story straight enough times on the fly that this is a very practiced routine for you. And you start approaching the part of the story where you would relay the strange talking sword, which is a big part of the story of your adventure. And you get some no signals from Maddox, which you can do what you choose with.
He would have probably made note that it existed, but not that he had it, but not try to give too much detail about it or anything, just as an aside or something like that.
Okay. Go ahead and lay that out for me in a sentence. And not too much detail sentence. What information are you including? In a room full of powerful people, words are your weapons and could be your downfall.
Oh my.
I'd say something along the lines of having found a sword that belonged to Pendleton Wick that talked to Dacian. And was helpful in giving direction, and no, that's helpful in giving direction and was very, very, very bored.
So you mentioned this, and you can see Thaddeus actually leaves his position next to you and goes and sits at his seat, mm-hmm. Next to the king, which is their comfortable positions. And when you mention this sword, he rolls his eyes a little bit, and he goes, "That damn sword." Oh my goodness.
You familiar with it?
Oh my dear goodness. You are more than welcome to hang on to that.
All right. Thanks.
I cannot contrive why my brilliant brother would make something so terribly annoying. Perhaps it was one of his few mistakes.
Annoying. All right.
Aside from going missing for ages.
And then he would have continued on with his storytelling.
Okay.
That's probably all he would have said at that time. Mm-hmm. Getting no signals from Maddox.
Mm-hmm. Do you recount that Maddox dispelled the magic ball?
Well, when we came to that magic wall, to that ruined wall that you had, that was sort of a barrier to the door, it stumped us for a little bit, but we found a way through it pretty, the second or third time we tried. It wasn't as difficult as I would have kind of expected it to be, because after that we kind of just walked right through.
Most curious, Thaddeus says. I felt the fluctuation of power distribution in the palace. And he kind of closes his eyes and literally like holds his hands out to the left and the right and points his chin up in the air and moves kind of oddly, like he's feeling the building, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In a very strange way, he says, and I rushed down there as quickly as I could. It felt like somebody strong-armed my spell and just punched a nice little hole in it. Huh. I don't know you to be the arcane smith as such, Dacian. However, I do not know what your deal is. And Thaddeus turns and looks directly at Maeve and your ruined hammer.
Maeve is just going to be like, shake her head and kind of like shuffle awkwardly. My deal? My deal? I don't know if I really have much of a deal. Just like shuffle awkwardly. Like not ever taking her eye off the boy king.
Maddox like leans over to Dacian real quietly. I don't know if I'm insulted or entertained.
Then Thaddeus turns and says, well, then it must be, if not a matter of the cloth. And he looks at Solana.
She smiles and shakes her head.
Then if not divine providence from Solana or Sun Thea herself, then perhaps it would be your elusive, carousing, gambling, nefarious, magical, rule-breaking friend.
Maddox bows.
Maeve is gonna like mumble, couldn't have said it better myself. And then like clap her hands over her mouth.
It hardly seems fair that some devote their entire lives and even the lives of others to learn magical practice, and your companion seems to stumble across magical weavings as though they were patrons in one of the establishments that he frequents.
It's been my experience that magic does not discriminate based on your station or even the location that you inhabit. I've been fortunate enough to fall upon, as you say, some of the secrets that others takes years to learn.
You did ask me to put together a more well-rounded crew for reasons unknown, and I do believe they have various talents that I do not have.
I live to serve, Your Majesty. Do another bow.
The boy says, interesting. We should have him give me lessons sometime. And everybody in the room, like, looks mildly frustrated and upset, quietly in keeping it to themselves.
It would be my pleasure.
Thaddeus, like, you can see, like, this vein in his forehead kind of going, and Howell Flint, his tutor, kind of, like, sighs a little bit and shakes his head like, this would be the kind of day I'm gonna have. And says, of course, sir. We'll make some time right after history of the... well, we'll make some time. Soon. Very, very soon. And then the boy says, hey, what do you say about the word soon? And he kind of looks down and he's like, might as well be never. When's a good time for you, Master?
You can call me Oogway.
Someone is trying to hold back a laugh so hard.
Maeve looks horrified, just appalled. If you were in arm's reach, she would slap you.
I am but a humble servant of the crown, Your Majesty. You call and I answer.
Oh, we'll just do that. Where can we send for you?
I'm actually in the process of relocating due to a recent sandstorm that did some damage to my dwelling place. I assure you, if you contact Dacian, he'll be able to reach me.
That's easy. We always know where to find Dacian. Dacian, do you always know where to find him?
Not as often as you know how to find me, but I usually can find him pretty easily. He's usually pretty easy to find.
It's not that big of a city. That sounds wonderful. Well, make arrangements, and let's see what we can do in the next week.
Yes, Your Majesty. Or Your Grace, or Your Honor.
If you have any issues with your abode, or... adjustments, just let me know.
I will. You are far too generous.
There may be a shift in powers that be among the noble estates shortly. And some room could be freed up, depending on the quality and longevity of whatever services you do provide or do not.
I would feel both underqualified and privileged, honored even, to assist in any way I could. And Maddox is, like, slowly losing his energy to keep up the charade and just ready to be done with it any way I could as he kind of looks off and looks at Dacian. Could you take over here?
Not being able to think of anything else to relate to the to the king, Dacian politely says that his crew is tired and a little exhausted and would like to find some place to sleep.
Okay, yeah. Thaddeus says, perhaps we will speak more directly about your experience in the Undercity at a later time and assess what risks may or may not be present down there, as well as what risk is directly related to the palace, as it were. And then, of course, we can continue to assess the academy or the skies or the walls or any other areas of potential threat. But for now, it sounds like you've had more than enough of a day. So, Your Majesty, if you're quite done with them, I believe that these fine folks need to get to their homes and recover. And the boy goes, oh, I guess so. It's so boring here. But that is the duty of the king, he says, with like a very official air. And he says, thank you so much for everything that you are doing for this city. And just have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
Max would grab a few more honey cakes on his way out.
Please, take the tray.
Oh, I couldn't, as he grabs the tray.
The servant kind of like raises his eyebrows and just lets go of the tray, holds his hands up in the air, shrugs, and turns around and walks out of the room. A couple more come in and start grabbing chairs and moving them out of the way as you guys move off. A couple of guards move up either side and kind of just accompany you, not uncomfortably close at all, just walking along, keeping a pace moving as you walk towards the edge of the building. And one of them kind of gestures wordlessly beneath a metallic helm, not unlike that of Conroy's. You notice the guard's armor. Same build, same style, same probably craftsman cut, not colors. Hmm. Everything else is like everything aesthetically, color-wise, palette-wise, symbol-wise. Symbolically is different, but the style and defensive construction of the armor, very similar. Just kind of wordlessly gestures towards the stairway, which is still suspended. There are about six guards stacked up on either side of it right now, and a couple of gentlemen in robes that were wearing wide hats, wide-brimmed hats, very plain-looking. They're looking down on either side of the physical guards wearing armor and swords and halberds and whatnot, and they gesture for you to descend.
As the staircase went down, Maeve would be like sitting down and holding down, like holding basically onto the steps as much as she could with flat hands. She did that on the way up as well. Like not comfortable, do not like this.
So the stairs, like, they go all the way, like you could walk them all the way down to the first floor, even though they elevate and descend. But Maeve sits on the top step and waits for it to float all the way. And you hear a guard go, watch your fingers as it's going downward.
It's like an escalator.
Kind of like a cross between an escalator and an elevator. Right. Like imagine if the stairs just literally, instead of going down to the floor below, all floated up one at a time and went to the next floor instead. Mm. Like you could absolutely lose a limb as it approached the second balcony. It's a very raw, real, practical, beautiful construction. Like there's no space underneath them. It's solid stone and construction underneath it, and something, these slabs that reach up to the second floor must weigh thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds, and they just float soundlessly, effortlessly up into the air.
By the time the stairs reach the bottom, Maeve would be completely flat, like laying down.
Click, click, click.
And then, you know, roll over and shake things off and like proceed like nothing happened. Everything's fine.
There are a handful of students kind of sitting around the courtyard that the stairs are on either side of, and also in the center of there's the fountain, and they're kind of looking at you oddly. One of them like starts sketching you and shows their friend, and their friend laughs and looks over at you, and yeah, there's students moving this way and that.
Maeve would go over and stalk it and take it away and stuff it in her pocket.
All right, this will take some rolls. Are you stomping up? Are you sneaking up?
No.
You're just walking up?
Just walking up.
Walking up casually?
Mm-hmm.
There's an air of kind of cocky defiance as you approach. Like, what are you going to do, old lady? And you're just going to try to snatch the page?
No, I'm going to get turned into a giant as I walk over.
Now she turns into a giant.
Okay.
So, like, the student looks at their peer, and then they look back at you as you're, like, growing, and they look more and more and more up until you're standing over top of them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Gonna look down, and I'm just gonna sweep a paw, like, as big, wide, exaggerated motions as I can, and, like, raise my hand all the way up and snatch the paper out of their hand.
Okay, sleight of hand check.
It's not sneaky.
No, but it is tricky. Delicate, dainty finger work.
Okay.
Stealth is sneaky. This is sleight of hand.
18.
Okay. Yeah. So big mitts reach down and grab this little paper and pull it out of the student's hand while they're sitting there looking up at you and then at each other. And then what?
Stay in school. She's going to look at it, shake her head, and be like, art is not for you. Just have it in her pocket and walk away.
Art major, huh? Boy, will your parents be
get
proud.
Get a real job.
Get a real job. All right. What are you guys doing?
Dacian would watch somewhat amused and proceed.
Now, I would say, same thing you did. Now she turns into a giant. Really likes to choose her moments. Dacian, did you ever think I would be tutoring the king?
No, he laughs.
How the heck did that happen?
Can I come?
No.
Please.
Having talents that nobody else has is useful.
Yeah, I suppose. I prefer most people not to know those talents.
Yeah. He looks at Solana.
What?
Nothing.
She's just been like with her hat off, like just eyes closed, looking at the sky. Just like breathing, feeling much more relaxed.
You seem a lot lighter than you did.
I feel lighter.
If it makes you feel any better, they already knew that you were different.
Different.
To say the least.
Excuse me.
It's a compliment.
I don't believe you. Well, I guess we're done for the day. Is that right?
That's weird.
Can I go home? Is that a thing I can do? I feel
Apparently
like it's...
you don't have a home.
I just didn't want them to know that I lived in the mud huts.
I guess I gotta go home, check on Bob, make sure everything's okay. We haven't heard from her and it's been, I don't even know.
Yeah. Well, it's good that we haven't heard from her.
She probably killed the kid.
Because we told her to contact us if she was in trouble.
I think touching base with anything other than something that's going to kill you in the neck as soon as it can might be a good thing for a little bit.
Well, I think you know where I'm going then.
I think so too.
You guys are talking in the courtyard, and you hear this little voice that you didn't notice anyone in the crowd scurry up or stand next to you immediately, but you hear a short little voice go, "Hey, you guys look like you got some substance to you, some wealth. Are you interested in, I don't know, maybe procuring some interesting items?"
We're all looking at each other right now.
Dacian looks back down at the creature. What is it? A creature? Or is it?
So standing like right in the middle of your guys' little circle of chit chat here, there is a goblin, and he's got like kind of a like thick, bushy black hair, wide kind of pug looking face, big eyeballs, little spectacles. He's wearing like a little like a red trench coat. And you can see his little boots sticking out the bottom. He's looking left and right, kind of shifty-like. And he's like, looks up at you and he's like, "If you got the coin, I got some cool stuff."
What kind of cool stuff?
Don't keep it on me. It's right over there. And he points and you can see there's like some boxes that are up, kind of like sticking out of an alleyway. And you can see another goblin sitting on one of the boxes, rocking a little bit and smoking a pipe. It's like she has a bow in her hair. And there's these little poof clouds of smoke coming out of her pipe while she sits there and rocks back and forth.
Dacian makes like he's nearsighted and pulls out the monocle and tries to look over at the wagons to see what's in them.
Well, he's pointing a ways off.
Oh,
like,
but he you say
saw
you,
you
can see the
came and found you and is trying to get you to go back over out of the courtyard to this. It's not like an obscure part. This is a central city. Very, very open area, but there's a little alleyway in between some buildings, some deals, but it's ways off. Like, you can see where he's pointing.
Oh, okay. You had described the other goblin, like we could see.
Yeah, he points at her.
Right, so we can see the wagons, too.
There's no wagons.
Gotcha. Boxes. Okay, yep. Or the boxes?
Yeah.
So I can't see in them from...
The range of your monocle? Not that far.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah.
This is outside of the castle area, right? This isn't near where we came out. You said courtyard. That makes me think, like, inside.
Yeah, no. So, right outside the front of the Xenithal Palace, there's the big stairways, and there, all the students hang out there all the time, and then there's a courtyard. It's just a flat area where you're not allowed to build anything in front of the palace. It's the facade of the palace. Lots of traffic moves there, and, like, visiting dignitaries and their ensembles and their Prince Ali, you know, parades would pull up to this part of town. Court. If the townspeople were asked to gather for a speech, it would be in this part of town. So it's just a big open courtyard. There are like little, there's buskers kind of, but anytime anyone sets up a shop that can't move quickly, the guards are going to come bust it down.
Okay. This seems like, talking to the little guy, this seems like a pretty close to the castle palace for you to be selling, quote, interesting items.
Oh, wise guy, huh? You seem like a pretty straight-edge fellow. You seem like you like following rules and know what they are and stuff.
That's right.
He looks like right past you to Salon. He's like, we got a teddy bear.
A teddy bear?
Yeah, I don't know if you like those.
No.
I got a weird potion. He looks at Maeve. There's some cool stuff, you know? Well, we get around, we find things. He's like, one man's trash, another man's treasure. Treasure or not, you want, you buy, we sell.
What does weird mean?
Well, it was just some weird stuff. I got a wind-up toy of a dragon.
Okay.
Whatever.
Sure.
I know
show me the
what
shop.
My stuff is worth. And he just turns around and he starts walking towards the little goblin gal with the pipe.
I turn to the rest of the group. This feels like it would be a waste of time, but I am endlessly curious.
Let's go check it out. No harm.
You want to go shopping?
Yeah. All right. Maeve's going to take her giant steps because she's still giant.
Okay. You could fit that guy in the palm of your hand.
Mm-hmm. That's the plan.
Okay. All right. Check it out.
He's just walking kind of like every now and then he like ducks underneath someone's foot who does not see him. He's barely like 2 feet tall. Very short, brown goblin. Little stick leg sticking out on either side. He sticks his knees out too far to the side when he walks back and forth. Kind of looks like a little frog or a beetle. He puts his thumbs underneath his collar and is kind of walking proudly. And the little goblin gal starts kicking her feet when you approach the boxes. And she hops off over the back of it and then flips the lid up. And then, like, kind of switches over into a table, and she starts setting stuff on it. And she's like, look at the stuff. Yeah, if you don't like anything you see here, yeah, you could just ask, and we could find something for you. We're real good at finding stuff. I crawl underneath houses. People leave stuff everywhere.
Dizian does the whole nearsighted thing again and just looks over everything.
Yeah, so you can see into the box, and you just see some stuff. Like, there's some... there is a teddy bear with a pink bow in one of the boxes there, and she actually grabs that out and sets it on the little table shelf thing. It's kind of like a crate that's got hinges, so she just starts setting stuff on the hinge part that is now open like it's a table.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a weighted top, like a heavy looking lead top with a string, and she pulls out an unlabeled potion. Like, it is just a bottle. It could be anything.
Goblin pee?
Whatever. It could be anything. And then she pulls out a feather carefully and sets a stone on it. And, like, kind of, like, looks at you to make sure you're not too close. And then she goes back down. And the other guy, the little goblin guy, gets up and hops on top of the crate there. And kicks his feet on the inside of it, just casually looking. He's like, is there anything you like? There's all kinds of cool stuff here. This is a translation stone she's pulling out now. It works for about 5 minutes, but, you know, that's worth more than not having one. There's a toy, and this is pretty funny. And he sets this intricately constructed clockwork dragon down carefully. And he points at it, and then he kind of backs away from it and just watches you guys. And it's like brass. It's like sleeping. Its little head, dragon head, is like resting on this claw that's resting on its arm. And its wings are just sitting there. And there's like a little mechanical twist key at the back of it. And it It looks like it could spring to life at any given moment, but you're not sure in what way. You don't see hinges or levers. You don't know what it does. It clearly does something. You've seen cheap wind-up toys that just vibrate. Cool. Or maybe it's a music box, but it clearly does something.
Maeve picks up a potion in her giant hand, and it's just like gonna look through it and hold it up to the light. And...
it just drinks it.
Not yet.
Gulp. Yeah. So you hold it up to the light. It's a green glass bottle. Very cheap green glass. Easy to come across. In a city where glass is cheap. Crystal is cheap. Major export crystal. You hold it up to the light of the sun, and you can see little like flakes floating around in it that seem to sparkle a little bit. They're not floating like if you shook it up. They don't float more rigorously or less so. Mm. Kind of at their own lazy pace. Huh. And there's definitely a swirl of translucent versus transparent liquid moving through the container.
What's this do?
I don't know, but the guy who forgot it somewhere looked important.
Awesome.
So I figure it's worth something.
How much?
Make me an offer.
Yeah. Since I don't really know what it does, we'll go with a gold.
A gold? No. No, it's worth more than that to me.
What would that be?
Give me a persuasion check. I don't know. I've got a wife and some kids to feed. We don't have any. Shut up. 23. 23? Mm-hmm. she's like, we do need to eat. We haven't made any money. He's like, shut up. Okay, you can have it. One gold piece. There's your dinner. Now, keep getting the stuff out. And, let's see. She pulls out a glass sphere carefully. And she sets it on a little pillow. And inside the sphere, there is a lizard. And it's like hanging on to the top of it. And it kind of like shifts ever so slightly and rocks to where the lizard's on the side, and you see like one of its eyes open, and it like looks at everybody and then closes its eye and holds perfectly still, and it kind of changes, and it looks like clear, like the glass that it's perching on, almost mimicking the colors.
It's enclosed?
It is completely, like you're looking at this glass sphere, and there's no like apparent openings on it.
How long has it been in there? I asked the goblin.
Ever since it was made, I guess.
He doesn't need to eat?
No, doesn't eat. It's an immortal lizard. And she like waves her hand through the air while she says it. Immortal. This tiny creature holds the secret to immortality.
Maeve's gonna like grab it again and
look at it. Yeah.
Hold it up to the light.
The lizard like loses its grip on the glass and like slides upside down and scrambles to get on its back, and then like perches very, very wide stance with its tail pressed against the bottom and like looks around wildly, and she's like,
nobody believes us. We've been trying to sell it for years.
Poor thing.
Just break the glass.
I'm gonna.
We have to buy it first!
You're breaking it, you buy it!
You're breaking it, you buy it! Market price!
What about the translation stone?
No friend deals. The translation stone?
You said that only lasts 5 minutes.
It was very handy. That was a magically crafted item. It is damaged, though, so we could give you a deal.
And the guy's like, yeah, we could give you a deal, a discount. You guys have already bought in a potion and a steal from us, so I guess we owe you something. My goodness, I hate my job. What will you give me to live off of?
Wait. Some questions first. You said it only lasts for 5 minutes. Is that 5 minutes a day? Is that a one-time only 5-minute use? What does that mean?
I don't have an hourglass on me.
Does it reset?
It's worked multiple times. I've used it to sell goods to foreigners or intelligenter people than me. And so it's kind of handy to me, actually.
Yes, we need the money.
Okay, all right. So, it works for about 5 minutes. You can just understand what people are saying.
Let's see if it works. I'm going to toss it to Maddox and start speaking giant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
How dare you?
It would be saying very insulting, like mildly insulting things about how you did a good job, but like,
backhanded compliments.
Yeah, you did a good job for once, and it was actually nice to see that you actually have some capability. And
oh dear.
Do Maddox, I understand it? Just holding it?
You're just holding the stone, and she's saying these deep guttural sounds and stuff at you, and then the goblin is like, you just give it a little shake there, and if that doesn't work, give it a whack. And you shake it a little, nothing happens. He's like, no. And he takes your hand, he goes, whack, whack. And then all of a sudden you hear, but you know, that's, and these passive-aggressive comments start washing into your ears in Maeve's usual speaking voice.
Nope, doesn't work. Toss it back to her.
BS.
All right, how much for both?
For it's like both,
a buy one, get one 50% off deal.
Oh, well, you want the lizard and you want my stone?
Yes.
Well, it's a group price. We'll make a group price for both things.
Another gold?
I feel like I need to earn a little back from my potion that you have relieved me from.
I thought you said I did you a favor.
Yeah. No, I didn't say that. Those are not my words. I'm not a smart goblin.
No, he didn't say that. No, he's not smart.
Yay. So, I don't know. Let's see. He pulls out a little sheet of paper. It has obviously nothing written on it. And he says, how about, well, that's in my immortal lizard. I will give it to you for 1,200 gold pieces.
I'll give you two.
Two gold?
2,000.
No.
She's going to set him down. Like.
No. And he takes the lizard and like puts it back on the pillow and he scowls at you and he puts the lizard back in the box and you see his little lizard face disappearing behind the box. Hear a little tink, tink, tink as he falls.
Five.
Five what?
Gold.
No. It's an immortal lizard. I have no idea how old he is, but he's been in that glass ball for a long time.
And you've had him for years. And how many times have you sold him?
Somebody who knows what he's worth will pay me. And then, baby... And he, like, squeezes her toe, and she goes, ow! He's like, we're gonna retire to the oasis. It's you and me, toots.
Maddox chimes in. I'll give you 400 gold pieces.
For the lizard?
For the lizard.
Give me a persuasion check.
14 plus 5, so
19. 19? Oh. And she goes, we don't need the money, but push him. And he goes, well, at least you're talking. Just the lizard?
Well, and the metal top.
The metal top?
Yeah, it's just a toy. It's worth like 5 silver.
I was gonna try to sell it for 2 gold pieces.
All right, I'll give you 402 gold pieces.
You're shrewd. Make it 800. It's an immortal lizard, dude.
You have no proof
he's
of
like,
that.
He's like, you don't believe me? He pulls it out and he starts...
Maeve is going to snatch it out of his little hand and hold, like, she hold it, like, completely in her hand.
For the briefest moment, you just hear, tink, tink, tink.
No. She completely envelop it in her giant hands and, like, hold it close to her chest. Stop that! She's going to hand it to Solana. Solana's holding it.
Maddox just kind of peeks into the glass bowl. Okay. 500.
He shook the snot out of that lizard for a couple of seconds. It's like upside down and scrambling. And like it's trying to run up the side of the bowl and it keeps sliding back. Or the ball, it keeps sliding back to the middle. And he's like, I've been shaking that thing for years. It does not die. Does not eat. Does not sleep. Does not drink. It's an immortal lizard.
500.
It's concussed now. We wanted to discount.
It's concussed. It can't be concussed. It's immortal. Look at
19
him.
On my persuasion check, and I can't get off of here. He was even, like, considering the 400, but it's up at the 500, just straight up, no way. I don't know.
Low, low, low. I wrote the prices down.
You're not going to counteroffer him my 500? Oh. Do you know how haggling works, goblin?
All right. What do you even say? I just remember being super insulted, and then you snatched, but get that back. If you don't want it to get shook up, then you need to buy it.
Yeah, we can shake our list up whenever we want to.
550.
No. I mean, this is supposed to be my retirement. And he's like jumping and going, but he's like 2 feet tall. Who's holding it right now?
Solana.
Yeah. It's like, give it to me or I'll call the guards.
Please don't shake it. She hits it back.
All right, I won't for now. And he takes it and he like looks over his shoulder and scowls at Maeve. And he goes, she can't buy it anymore. Unless it's at full price.
Don't shake it then, or I'll shake you.
I take 900 gold pieces. This is my retirement we're talking about. You know how long goblins live, if they're lucky? Like 30.
Yeah.
Dude, 30. Mm-hmm. I'm 26. I got 4 years if I'm happy and healthy, which I'd rather not be. I need to live it up with my lady. And she goes, yeah.
So I'm
He's
going...
He's gonna take care of me.
I'm going to cast Distort Value.
Okay.
Which reduces the value, at least the perceived value of the thing by half.
Okay.
Or it doubles, depending on what I want.
What you want. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. By adding illusory nourishes or polish it, or to reduce it by scratches, dents, other unsightly features. Anyone examining the object can ascertain its true value with a successful intelligence check against my spell's heavy DC.
Sure, sure.
Good luck, goblin.
Make it look like it's dying.
I'm just gonna like make it look sick. Like there's a broken leg.
It has a cough. Yeah.
So it's not immune to damage after all.
Uh-huh. All right. So he needs to make a what check?
A successful intelligence save against 16.
13? No. So he's looking at it, and he like suddenly kind of like slows down, and he like covers it with his hands and starts slowly putting it back into the box. And he's like, I don't know. So, well, what are you offering?
400.
As is, just 400 gone. As I is. Think you were offering more than that.
Well, your last offer was 800. Solana.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
It's retirement.
He's only got like 6 years left to live.
So you have plenty to make money.
500.
500 gold pieces. And the girl's like, no, wait, what are you thinking? He's like, just trust me, babe. All right. You know what? No top, but you can have the immortal lizard for 500 gold pieces. And then we need to go. It's about that time of day.
Great.
And he reaches out and he tries to pick up the dragon wind-up toy and it bites his finger. And he starts, like, screaming. And he goes, ah!
That
and he, like, pulls it off.
Hey, before you start making offers, I need to borrow 100 gold pieces.
Okay. He pulls out 100 gold pieces and hands it to Maddox.
Mark it down.
Yeah. So 100 years. I had 417. So now I've got... 17. And I'm just gonna give him 502 gold pieces and pick up the top.
Okay. Alright.
So
fair enough. And he holds his hand and like it's like his pinky's throbbing a little bit. And he's like, we need to sell that thing.
What's it do? What's wrong with it?
With what?
The dragon.
It's just a stupid toy. And the gal's like, I like it. It gets him every time. He always tries to make it bite the customer, but every time he puts it away and it bites his finger. It's my favorite part of the day.
So I'll give you 5 gold pieces for it.
5 gold pieces?
Because you enjoy it so much. Otherwise, I'd offer less.
We usually try to get 10.
I don't even know what it does. It just looks kind of cool, and it bit him.
Oh, it does bite your finger.
Oh, it does.
It's a joke. So, like, when somebody's trying to touch something they're not supposed to, they pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Justice is so sweet and small in this world. Here's a tiny bit of it for 10 gold pieces, mister.
I'll give you a 6.
Give me a persuasion check. Okay. Good roll. She goes,
all right, fine. Just because you're cute and my man won't be around that long. In 6-7 years, come swing by the Oasis. I'll probably be there living on my retirement.
And she's like,
let me gift wrap this for you.
When she takes the lizard out, and he's like, yeah, it's a good idea, babe. He's like, the thick paper. And they take the glass orb, and they're not hiding it or concealing it or anything that much, but they wrap it up for you in some canvas paper, tie some string around it, a little bow, and kind of approach you a little bit with the hand out extended for the money.
Oh, yeah, I would do a same time exchange. Same-sies.
This is my retirement. No offense, man. You seem, well, I think I've seen you at the Bucktooth, but you know, it's a small town.
I've got one of those faces. I'm gonna unwrap it to make sure it's in there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So like they close the box and like he like grabs the box and she grabs the other end and they start pushing it into the like the alleyway and you're unwrapping the paper and the lizard it is in there and but you can hear him saying like hurry quick before he sees the leg.
Yeah. Cool.
We're headed to the Oasis, baby.
I love it when you talk that way.
That was fun.
We should name it. We should name it.
We?
Mm. Oh, dear.
Our lizard Albert. Friend.
Yeah, you're looking. The the sun's refracting off this perfect crystal sphere. No perceivable entrance, exit to very polished, simple little scratches here or there. And this lizard's inside, and it moves just like a little bit, jerky motions now and then. It's probably 4 inches long, tail to nose. It's kind of, it was like kind of mimicking the color of the glass and the like the crate underneath it. Now it's kind of mimicking the color of whoever's hand is holding it.
Mm. We should name it a lizard, Beth.
You can call it whatever you like.
Lizzie?
Sure. This was purely a scientific purchase.
I want to let it free.
What if it gets exposed to the air and just dies?
Exactly.
We should get it looked at first. This. Like, see, you know.
I'll handle it.
Oh. You hear a voice that's like,
what?
Handy.
No. Dacian walks further into one of the alleys and lets Handy out just a little bit.
Sure, you like crack it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, is that an immoral lizard?
Yeah.
Dude, the boss was looking for one of those for years, and you just found one 30 feet from the palace. What are the odds of that?
What are the odds of him coming back for it?
Are you there too?
You well, I'm the one with the lizard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we all would have.
Okay, well, I mean, if he knew about it, he would be here. He would not pass up an immortal lizard.
Hmm. What did he want one for?
Redacted. Uh-huh. I mean, like, I feel like contextually, you could figure that one out on your own.
Maybe to.
I wish I could help you. All the information is there. You need a couple logical leaps, but you're pretty smart. So.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I am not being obstinate. No. Please be nice. I'm sorry that I can't help you more. But anytime I start to even kind of dance too close to the subject in my own redacted, and I hate saying that. It's like stubbing your toe, maybe.
Okay. So why does Thaddeus dislike you so much?
I am hurt.
He seems so friendly down in the caves.
I do not know. He acted like he did not know me, and that we have not spent vast amounts of time together. I used to talk to Thaddeus while Pendleton was working, and Thaddeus was helping with the research. And, you know, I helped him take notes, and I always thought we were tight, but... it appears otherwise, and that's okay. You know, people change, and I'm an independent being. I don't need no friends. I kept myself occupied for I do not know how long.
Yeah, you did. You don't need friends. Right, what you said. Okay, moving on. Well, I think I need to return this at some point here. And he holds up the monocle.
Bummer. I like that.
I do too. I may have to borrow it more frequently or get my own.
I gave you the box and like the paper stuff with the inkwell. You got that? Great.
And kind of holds up the eye. Might see what I can find out about this.
Mm-hmm. We found some cool trinkets.
We did. What was the last... I don't remember the last interaction we had with the people on the other end of that box. the other end of that magical typewriter thing.
I wrote something.
Yeah, you haven't messed with it yet.
Okay.
Maddox did, briefly.
Okay.
And then gave up and was like, nah. We're just going to give it to Daisy now that I've ruined it.
Good luck, buddy.
All right. Well, with that... your underground, adventures, at least for now, concluded. Much work to do still in surveying the palace and possible deficits in its security. Having met the Boy King face to face, which is something 10 people in this city could say, and had an odd interaction, shopping excursion with some goblin panhandlers. The sun is at its zenith right now. Looking at the palace would be a terrible idea. And almost in stark contrast to the brilliance of the white zenithal palace is the tall, lonely, odd, black, spiky tower by itself off to the left of it, of where you guys are standing. Its shadow unable to pass anywhere because the sun is above it. And that is where we will call this episode.
Thank you for joining us in tonight's adventure. Don't forget to tune in Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Alaska Standard Time to catch the next installment of Frontier Fiction. My name is Maeve, and I've been playing Anna.
My name is Veda, and I've been playing Solana.
I'm Zeb, playing Highguard.
Wacy playing Dacian.
Now, Colton and I got to be two lovely goblins tonight.
They were lovely.
Thanks for tuning in. That's the fun of random roll charts. I need to use those more often. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so at Frontier Fiction on Instagram or Frontier Fiction on Facebook. We enjoy our interactions with you guys. We are stoked that people enjoy listening to us hanging out and playing this awesome game together. Everybody have a wonderful time.
Bye. Toodles.
Keep your stick on the ice.
No. Catch you guys
next week. Stop. Fuck off.
No.
Oh, I have to cut that.
Keep your stick on the ice.